Welcome back to the Printulu podcast. Printulu is passionate about helping small businesses grow their business in an omnichannel world. That is why we have started this podcast to help businesses navigate this difficult time. I'm your host, Trudy Kitsia, and today I have with me my guest, Philippe Alamazzani. He is the founder and CEO of Chef and Guests, and they are your personal chef just a click away. Philippe, welcome. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you for having me, Trudy.
Cool. So, Philippe, I think to start off, do you maybe want to give us a brief background just on what you guys do over at Chef and Guests?
Yes, thank you, Trudy. So, Chef and Guests, it's a platform that connects fine dining lovers with private chefs. And our services are available in Cape Town, Johannesburg, Pretoria, and Durban. So basically, the whole concept is you book a chef on the platform, the chef buys all the ingredients, come to your house, set up the table, cook in your kitchen, serve you the dish, and even do the cleaning before leaving.
That is fantastic. So tell me, what kind of, you're in the hospitality industry then, and I mean, especially if you're going to people's homes and stuff, you must have been seriously impacted by this whole COVID-19 situation. What kind of societal changes have you seen in regards to the hospitality industry? How has it impacted your business?
So I will say, first I just want to acknowledge that the industry has been suffering a lot during the current crisis, especially with the government regulation that are not helping. I will say one of the things we've been seeing with Chef and Guests is more and more people are turning to our services due to the fact that they can't go to restaurants. They're actually coming to our services. And it's actually, it's ideal for them because the service come to their house. They can actually have their loved one also be part of the experience. And yes, we've seen a growth. I would say it's actually amazing because since we actually resume our service under level 3, and we've seen a tremendous growth. We actually multiply the number of booking we usually get per week by 3. So we now get an average of 10 bookings per week compared to before the lockdown, which was between 1 and 2 per week.
Yeah. Wow, that's fortunate. So would you say that's because of how, so the business hasn't really had to adapt too much during lockdown. It was more a case of your business actually being ideally positioned because it's an online thing and you actually bring the experience to people's homes.
Yes, so basically what happened is we did change our business model. Under level 5, we couldn't perform any services as most company couldn't.
Yeah.
So under level 4, we actually did deliveries. So basically it was the chef proposing family-style meals, fine dinings, easy fine dinings meals that you can do deliveries from, for the chef cooking from their house and delivering the meal themselves to the clients. We did get some interest on that, but it was not what we were hoping for. And then luckily on the level 3, we were able to just resume our normal services. But we still have the option for anyone to actually ask for a family meal to be delivered at their house.
That's interesting. I would have thought it would be the opposite, simply because, you know, Uber Eats and everything was still operating, people were still doing takeouts, I would say. But I've seen quite a lot of people quite scared to go into restaurants and to actually have that interaction with people. So that's interesting that people are actually willing to have you guys come to their homes.
Yes, based on some studies that were done after lockdown 3 was actually eased, I think 60% of people interviewed were saying that they don't feel comfortable of going back to a restaurant in the next 10 months. So I think that's a plus for us because, first of all, the guest doesn't need to worry about the ingredients and all those things. It's a package that we offer them where the chef bring everything, so they don't need to go out and buy all those things. And it's in the comfort of their own home, so they feel, if I can say it like that, having the chef providing the service.
And tell me, you said you adapted your business model. Do you maybe want to go into a bit more detail of what you guys did there?
Yeah, so basically, our business model is basically the chef coming to your house and cooking and performing the services in your house. But because on the level four, we couldn't, we are not allowed to actually perform the service that way. Then the chefs proposed easy menu that you can actually deliver, because it's very difficult to deliver fine dining food because it's a specific type of cuisine. And you can't actually package it in a way that still look nice, fresh, as you do when you cook it at someone's house. Mm. So the chefs actually came out with family-style meal because we were catering more for families of four and six. So it was a way for also for them to still make the extra income, because one other thing I want to mention is the chef on the platform are independent professional chefs that use our platform to actually promote their name out there and actually make an extra income. So by doing that, we actually wanted them to still have that extra income on the side, because level five was very difficult for all of us and even for them, because some of them did lose their jobs that they had. So basically we changed the model by actually allowing the chef to cook from their house and bringing the food already packaged to the clients.
Okay, fantastic. That's what we did. Wow, that's amazing. I think that adaptability is really amazing. Just leading into that, how have you changed your approach to your marketing efforts? What did you do before the lockdown? What are you doing currently? What have you found is working right now in terms of getting people to actually trust, the people that are coming into their homes?
Mm-hmm. So I would say we actually didn't really change much in terms of the marketing strategy that we've been using. So we're just spending more on marketing than before, just taking advantage of the situation to make people aware of what we're offering. So basically it's the same marketing strategy we had before, just spending more.
I think you're in a very unique position in your ability to do that. I think a lot of business owners had to really cut down on their marketing spend. I know we're an online company at Printulu, and we've had to cut our marketing spend by as much as 92% originally. It's picking up now in level three, but so I think you guys are quite fortunate, and that's fantastic to hear. I'm really glad to hear, because in general I think people in the hospitality industry are just really struggling still. We've heard of branches like Spur, for example, that just aren't opening because it's just does not justify the cost.
Yes, definitely.
So that's fascinating. But let's go into a bit more detail with your marketing efforts. What are you guys currently doing? Are you spending on online? Are you spending on offline? What have you found works for you guys?
Yeah. So at the moment we do a lot of online marketing, so using platform like Google and doing Google Ads and YouTube Ads. We use Instagram, works a lot for us as well, because basically what we do, we actually post pictures after each bookings of the foods or the decor or we post the food of the booking after bookings on Instagram, and people can actually see the whole experience, the food, and so basically Instagram is like a nice it's a nice window into what we do, and people can actually see pictures, because on the website we only have description of the menu, there's no pictures. So Instagram do help us a lot on our marketing strategy, but I would say we do spend more money on Google Ads and YouTube Ads. And then apart from that, what we did last year and something we're actually planning to continue doing this year, it's partnership with some social media influencer. And then we also have brands approaching us to do collaboration or giveaways, where they give us a product for free and then we market them, or like just having those type of partnership between us. That's some of the thing that we've been doing. And then we have some magazine that approach us to market our services on their magazine, online and print one. So those are what we use actually to market our business. Yeah.
Okay, cool. And tell me the partnerships that you guys are doing. Is this all relevant to the food industry, all these partnerships? Or do you find that any brand is kind of approaching you right now? And are you specific in which partnerships you choose?
Yes, so we will prefer to stay in the food industry. So basically, we have a partnership with a company called Golo. They make low carbs, healthy products, like from smoothie to pizza base to wraps to muesli. And then we approach a company called the Villiers Chocolates, based in Cape Town, where we actually use some of the chocolate in our thank you gift that we offer to some of our customers after booking. It's just a small thank you gift that we send to customers just to say thank you for using our service and your support during this time. And then there's a lot of wine distributors that actually want to place some of their wine on our platform because we offer fine dining. Most of the menu on the platform come with a wine pairing suggestion that the customer can actually buy himself. It's not part of the menu. It's just a suggestion. So some of those wine companies do approach us trying to place their brands with a specific menu.
But now with the alcohol ban again, what are you guys doing there? I mean, the situation is never endingly changing.
Yeah, it did affect us a lot, but then, as I mentioned, the wine is actually purchased by the clients directly because we don't sell the wine with the menu. It did affect us, but I think some of our customers do have their own way of getting the wine, or they actually have like a wine cellar where they actually have their own wine. But yes, it did affect us, and some of the menu actually use wine to cook some of the dish.
Yes.
It did affect us in that way as well, but yeah, there's nothing we can do about it. And we just hope that the sale of alcohol will be resumed soon.
Yeah, that's interesting. I didn't actually think about that, but a lot of the food that you cook does require some wine in it as well. So that's interesting. Yeah. The chefs have had to adapt their menus quite quickly, I'm guessing.
Yeah, they have to adapt. And one of the things that we like with what we're doing, so as I mentioned, there's menus. So each chef proposes his own or her menus, between 3 or 5 menus on the profile, different menus with different prices. But then the chef can still adapt or customize a menu based on a client recommendation or requests. So it's always easy for the chef to actually adjust the menu, remove something, changing, propose it, able to cater for different dietary requirements.
Interesting. So, Philippe, you guys have obviously managed to really adapt well and really take advantage of the situation. Do you have any advice for other small business owners who are in the hospitality industry that aren't necessarily positioned as well as you? What would you say to them to maybe try in terms of marketing, in terms of their business models? What's your advice there?
Yeah, and I think first I just want to say that I understand the frustration and the fear because we don't know what the future is going to look like, and a lot of them are actually losing years of hard work. I think one of the things I would say to other business owner out there, it's one of the things we're actually doing now and we're actually planning to do in the future. It's actually brands or business to come together and work together, doing partnership, just trying to pull each other up by working together. And then I also say, look for guidance from other business owners, seek for counsels from other business owners. And then, for those who lost their business, I'll just say that failure is not an end. It doesn't mean because the business failed that they're a failure. You know, there's always other opportunities. And in terms of the marketing, I would say, like, what works for us, I would say it's actually coming back again to partnership. It's social media actually as a huge way of actually pulling your brand out there if you do partnership with the right social media influencers. And I think the South African market for that is actually growing in in Europe or in the US, it's a huge market where you can actually partner with social media influencers on Instagram or Facebook. I think that's one of the things some business owner or brand can actually try to do because you have a larger audience. You do spend some money, but you think that the audience that you get, the return on the investment that you make, it's higher than spending on your Facebook, on your Instagram, directly doing an ad.
Okay, so try to get some brand ambassadors out there. Try to get the word out through people. Add some authority to the brand with people speaking about the brand. And I think also just sticking to channels that works for your business. I think that's something that you mentioned that makes a lot of sense. Yeah. Instagram works so well for you because people want to see what the food looks like. They want to see what the product looks like. I mean, you're using not separately, you're using that in conjunction with the website that has all of the information. Mm-hmm. So I think that's something you guys are doing quite well. Do you just out of curiosity, are you spending any on Facebook ads? Do you have any Facebook presence, anything like that? Or is it mostly Instagram and Google?
We do spend on both because it's both platforms are linked. But I would say in terms of our spending, I would say 80% of our spending on the platform, Instagram actually take 80% of the spending and Facebook 20%. Because over the years, we actually realize we're getting more leads on Instagram than on Facebook with what we post.
Yeah, I think that's smart. So you guys are clearly keeping a pulse on the industry and really measuring your efforts. And I think throughout the podcast that we've done, that's been a very important message that we've wanted our viewers our listeners to kind of understand is there's a lot of channels, but you don't necessarily have to be spending a ton on everything. You just need to be very specific about what's relevant to your business, what works for you, and just measure it as you go forward.
So that's, and I think it depends on the industry you are in. Like, for instance, because of the service we provide, Google Ads works better for us because people will look for our services. We're actually going to search for them on Google than on Facebook. So Google Ads is actually a better channel for us to spend more money there because that's where people actually are going to look for services like a private chef, home dining, chef in your house, and all those keywords that people search for. But if your business is relevant to a specific industry, then Facebook might work better for you than Google Ads. Another advice is actually having a presence on Google. It's important for when people look for you, they can actually see that you have a presence and have reviews. And one of the things actually that works for us is having people review the services or the product that you offer, because we live in a world where people, before using your services, they want to know what were the experience of the others. So getting your customers or your clients to leave reviews of the services, that will also help you to get more customers or products sold.
Yeah, it's basically social proof. It's the first thing you look at if you're uncertain of a service, you look at the reviews to basically see what other people are saying. Absolutely, I 100% agree. Philippe, thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy schedule to speak to me and to share your insights with our audience. I really appreciate it. I think that's all we have time for today, but good luck with your future ventures. I'm really excited to hear about you guys, and I wish you all the best of luck, and I hope your business just keeps going from strength to strength.
Thank you, Rudy. Thank you for the opportunity to share and be able to give some insight and help others. I know it's a tough time, and I think if we come together and work together and help each other, we can go through this crisis and come strong.